we started a series entitled Thorns. And today I want to continue that series. And the title of today's message is Thorns, the Power of Grace. And I want to just talk briefly in the introduction about the power of God's grace. Grace guards us from the thorns of this life. And we enter into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 7. We see a very transparent Paul, a very open Paul about thorns in his life. And we know this, Paul never came across as one that had arrived. We see this, Paul gave us an understanding that his life, filled with the Holy Spirit, was still under construction. That he had not arrived. And even to the point, as we'll see this morning, he was one that God was guarding in his view of himself, understanding that he was still in the race, that he hadn't finished the race, that he was still in training, and God was not completed with him. His transparency and his honesty allowed us to see someone that was being real. And we know this about life. Being fake doesn't work. It doesn't. Being fake does not accomplish what God wants to do in us. Regardless of what our purpose is behind fakeness, a fake attitude or a false attitude about ourselves is extremely dangerous. And we see this about Paul in these passages. Let's start with verse 7. Paul writes, to keep me from becoming what? Conceited. Full of pride, Mr. Arrogant. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. Paul was one that saw the things of God, that proclaimed the things of God, that was used mightily of God. And he understood, even in doing that which was good, if we walk in our own power, we begin to become conceited. And we see here, a thorn was given me in the flesh. It was placed in his life. It was given to him in the flesh. A messenger of Satan, and look at this, to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So much there in the image of the thorn. The thorn came with purpose. It had pain, but it also had God's accomplishment, which was to keep Paul from being a conceited, if I can say it, can I say it? A conceited jerk. Do you think Paul could have done that? I think we're all capable of taking ourselves way too serious. But let's go further. Three times I pled with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. As we talked about before, we don't exactly know what his thorn was. And there's a reason for that, because God wants us to understand we're going to have thorns that are going to come in our lives. So I believe it was left a mystery so that we could apply the scripture in a more detailed way, in a broad way that would cover all believers. Three times I pled with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. He made his case. It doesn't need to be in my life. But then he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. It's a powerful statement there. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my, let's say this together, weaknesses. More than just one issue, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. People that lie to themselves about their weaknesses, people that elevate themselves higher than where God has called them, have a tendency to push the power of Christ away from them as they are proclaiming that his power is theirs. But let's go further. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with, and this gives us a broad scope of what thorns can look like. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and then, as I said before, the one that scares me the most is calamities, things that take us by surprise. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You think God's playing a word game with us here? No, he's not. He's being real. And he's saying, people, if you trust in your strength, you are trusting in the wrong source. When you identify with your weaknesses, you invite God's power to come within. And then we go further. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, let's say this together, through him who strengthens me. I can do all things, it doesn't stop there, through him who strengthens me. For the sake of Christ, I am contented. We see again, for when I am weak, then I am strong. God's proclamation to us here this morning is, my grace is sufficient. Whatever you're walking through, my grace is ample. Whatever you're going through, my grace is plentiful. My grace does not run dry. Grace guards us from the thorns of this life. Now, for me, as a wanting to be positive and wanting to sound as good as I can sound, I would like to say to you this morning, in my flesh, that grace will take all your thorns away. But I'd be lying to you. Some people envision the walk with Christ being this utopia that starts that never ends. Meaning that if we walk in Christ, we're shielded from pain. When we walk in Christ, the bad stuff won't happen to us anymore. How many people who had the wrong understanding of this boot camp, of this training ground, of this race, gave up because thorns came and did not leave? Grace guards us from the thorns of life. Grace does not eliminate the thorns. It guards and guides us when they enter our life. Because thorns, if they're not already present, they're heading our way. That's part of this journey. And don't let it discourage you, because every thorn that comes, God has a purpose behind it. Are you relying on the all-sufficient grace of God to manage the thorns in your life? That's a fair question. What are you doing with the thorns that are upon you? What are you doing with the thorns that have found you? Thorns of the flesh are part of our journey upon this earth. We can't escape it. It's just life here in this fallen place. There's going to be thorns. God will use these thorns to expand his power within us. You know, just like God saw in Paul, he says, Paul, I think you can be real conceited. I think you're the kind of guy that has a lot of gifts, a lot of abilities. You're extremely intelligent. And I think left alone, you would be so puffed up that you would be no use to me. God knew the condition of Paul, because he's what? He's God. And he knew what was needed to bring him to a place of dependency, not on Paul, but a dependency upon God. God, again, will use thorns to expand his power within us. How sad it would be if Paul would have checked out because he was so self-confident. How sad it would be for the church if Paul would have been left alone with his conceit. God's mercy reached in and saved Paul and also changed the dynamics of even the church today by rescuing him from that which was seeking to destroy him. The thorn wasn't the problem. The problem was that which would not be identified without the thorn. Whose power are you relying on to manage the thorns in your life right now? It's a fair question. Because in our lives, we like to take control. And some people are extremely good managers and administrators of their life. Some people, you set a task before them or a goal before them, it's going to get what? It's going to get done. It's just some people are extremely self-disciplined. I believe Paul was one of those kind of guys. That you set a task before him, he was going to make it happen. When he was a Pharisee, he made stuff happen. He followed the law. Every bit. Right now, the thorns that have come to you have not come to puff you up in your ability to handle it. You ever heard that? I got it. I can handle it. It's cool. It's cool. I got it. Well, just because you can get it, just because you can rise above it, doesn't mean that you are where you're at in managing the thorns in your life. It's amazing to me how different we are as people. Calamity can come to some and they weather through it as if there's nothing going on. Others, you let a mosquito bite them and then they've lost control. Others can forge through calamity and press on and get there. But again, that is not the point of why thorns come, so that we can prove our mettle or our ability. See, your power, my power, will fail us, even if we are able to get through the trial in our own strength. Relying on our power is not the purpose of thorns. Thorns come for a reason. As Paul said, why did this thorn come? To keep me from becoming conceited. How about this? How about if Paul was like, you know, I'm not even going to tell God that this is a problem, because I got it. This isn't even a thorn, man. This is like nothing to me. You think Paul could have done that? I think he could. I think he could have played the game. But God's mercy allowed him to see there's purpose in this thorn. A conceited Paul would have rejected the will of God. What is God trying to tell me through the thorns that are coming in my life? Because he's trying to grow me. He's trying to accomplish something if I will only listen. How do we listen to God? We listen to God by communing with him through his Holy Spirit that lives in us. If we have failed to move and grow in the relationship with God, with his Spirit within, all we are on is a religious journey that will take us to the land that is dry. But if we will seek God with all of our hearts and relate to him by the Spirit of God that is deposited within us, his ability to broaden our perspective is endless. How did Paul know the purpose of this thorn? He was in communion with God through the Holy Spirit within him. Paul could have just easily, in his power, brushed that thorn aside and just pressed through, but God showed him the purpose. God's power will never fail against the thorns of this life. That's a bold statement. The thorns that have come to distract us, to destroy us, God's power will never fail against the thorns of this life. That should give us a lot of hope. No matter what thorns come, God is more than able to keep us steadfast and to continue to grow us in Him. You saw the list. Three times I pled with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." God knows what people have done to you. God knows the demonic hell that has been expressed to you through the actions of others. God knows it. And when God centers His grace, He centers it directly designed for everything you're walking through. God is not generic. God is specific. He loves us so much that He uniquely places that which is more than sufficient for who? For you. For those who have cast God aside and said, "Enough is enough, I don't trust Him anymore," God's grace was sufficient. But they, instead of standing upon the foundation of a new heart and the Spirit of God, they stood in their flesh, and their flesh failed them. My grace is sufficient for you. Sufficient grace, grace that no thorn can prevail against. And here we go with this. There's a history, Pastor. I've seen plenty of people check out. I've seen many of people that had thorns come against them and they turned their back on God and they fell right back into the fallen attitude of the world. Does that happen? It does. But we're reminded that whatever temptation comes to us, and let me tell you, thorns are a temptation. When thorns come, they cut deep in us and tempt us to turn our backs on God. Satan entered the presence of Christ, came in the presence of Christ when Christ was in the wilderness. He saw Him as vulnerable, and he began to tempt Him. Remember that? But Jesus stood steadfast and spoke the word to Satan. And there was no victory for him. God promises to give us a way of escape. That's God's promise. It's not man's promise, that's God's promise. So when temptation comes, when thorns come and they're cutting deep within us, look for the way of escape. The way of escape doesn't necessarily, I mean, most of the times doesn't take the thorn away. But when grace is received, grace is a tremendous guard against the gold of the thorn. Now we say this, God allows thorns for good purposes, but thorns that are not applied the way God has designed can end up causing us to give totally up and reject the purposes and plans that Christ has for us. We've all given up at times, right? We've all had those times where we just said enough is enough, and that's not abnormal. But in our despair, in our time of waning, the mercy of God, the grace of God calls us and we hold on. Grace that no thorn can prevail against. What thorn is come to present itself as greater than God? What thorn has come to establish its authority to rule your life? Those thorns have no power over the authority and the power of God and the sufficiency of His grace in our lives. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 73:26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." We enter times of wanting to check out and totally give up. But we have the grace that remains as an unfailing strength in our lives. What is sufficient grace? It is unfailing strength. Not our strength, but God's strength. Because we get weary. We check out sometimes. We give up sometimes. But right there in the middle of that struggle, in the middle of that thorn, we are reminded it is God's strength that keeps us moving forward. And we're reminded that we should not rely on our strength anyway, because our strength will fail us. Sufficient grace. Another way of describing sufficient grace is more than enough. You've been there, totally dry, feeling like, where is the source of life? We look to God and we say, "Lord, it's just, I don't feel it." Because as humans, we want to what? We want emotion inside. But we feel dry. We feel like it's the point of the end. And then that mercy comes and says, "Be still and know that I am God. I am with you." Don't be surprised that in this life you will face many trials. But hold on. Persevere. Patience flows out of the heart that presses forward, not in your strength, but in the strength of Almighty God who lives in you by His unfailing grace. I know His grace is real. And you know what? God may send a lesson to you to expand your understanding in ways that you never believed possible. And it may come through the avenue of a thorn that you do not want. What are the thorns teaching me? My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion, not just for a little bit, but my portion forever. I think it would be okay for me to share this. Joan has been diagnosed with cancer, very serious, and she hasn't been given many days to live. And she loves life. You know, sometimes we get attitudes where we just, I'm ready to go. Joan's looking around to see, you know, where's the fun? You know, how can I bless? How can I give joy to someone else? Very happy lady, joyful lady. So she's going to fight. You know, sometimes God will settle in our heart. It's time, so let go. And that's not a bad thing. Well, let me tell you what happened to Joan this week. Joan had a therapist come by her house, and this therapist was doing her job. She says, look, we need to get her to the ER because her oxygen levels are way too low. So they called the ambulance, headed to the ER, and on the way to the ER, Joan's heart stopped. Well, they knew that they were not going to be doing a whole lot of compressions and all of that, because she's been through a lot. But they did give her that injection to restart that heart. And as surrounded with her family, as she came back, her first words, God is huge. Wow. He is so big. Was she crossing over? Probably. She talked about seeing her sister. But she talked about God is like really big. Wow. And I looked at the countenance of her family hearing those words, and I thought, the peace of knowing grandmama's going to be all right. Mama's going to be all right. What a testimony. What a testimony. He is sufficient. His grace is more than enough. Regardless of what we're walking through, regardless of the struggle, granted, it is horrific at times, beyond our description, beyond our imagination. And in the middle of that, His grace is more than enough. Don't give up. Don't give up. Sufficient grace is a victorious defender. Probably some mamas here and some daddies have stories of when someone crossed the line with your child. And all of a sudden, you ever had a teacher you had to have a conference with, and they start saying something about your child that you don't like? You know what kind of defender you are, right? God is an amazing defender of our lives. His grace that is amazingly sufficient is a victorious defender. We are more than conquerors through Him, not through ourselves, through Him who loves us. The grace that comes did not come to put a defeat in us, but it came to be a victory for us. You say the world looks at this and thinks how defeated they must be. The world doesn't understand the journey of the thorns. What was intended to grow and make us stronger, the world may classify as, how could that happen to such a good person like you? You think Paul struggled with whatever this thorn was, not just for his internal perception, but possibly it could be something that others saw about him? Do you think he struggled with how people viewed him because of this thorn in his life? You know, what Paul could have viewed, again, we don't know exactly what his thorn was. But what Paul could have viewed is somehow it being a testimony that discredits God. God seated within him to understand, Paul, do you not understand? My strength is being elevated in you, and I am receiving glory because you are holding on to the sufficient grace, which is a victorious defender. Some people think Paul's thorn was possibly his eyesight. Here's a man talking about how God heals, yet possibly we know he had problems with his eyesight. And some would have said, well, Paul, where's your faith, Paul? Where's your God, Paul? You can't perceive like you could. How is that sufficient? Paul knew that his trust was in God regardless of what was happening to the flesh. For if we put our hope in the flesh, we put our hope in something that is fading. Something that will dissipate, something that will fall back to the dust. But God has called us to look at the new heart that He has placed within us, the Spirit that is now alive, that transcends the sufferings of the body, that holds on regardless of what is happening to the body. Jones, stage 4 cancer. She's holding on. Her hope's still in God. You say, Pastor, why wasn't she healed? That's in God's hands. She trusts in God regardless of what is happening to this body. Where are we in our trust in God when the enemy maybe hasn't warred against our body, but maybe in our emotions. Maybe broken dreams that we had trusted in. What is happening to our trust? When God comes again, His sufficient grace is a victorious defender. He's all about guarding and protecting you. And then also, sufficient grace is a trusted refuge. Do you need a refuge? I'm going to ask that question again. I know this is rhetorical, right? We need. In fact, let me just put it this way. Everybody in here has some type of refuge. Everybody. And our hope is that refuge is God. Because we're going to find a place to run when trouble comes. For some, they run to shopping, to buy stuff. That's where they run. For others, they run to social media to find that love of their life. For some, they run to chemicals to take them away somewhere. God is the trusted refuge. The psalmist writes about the one who formed us and made us. Psalm 18, verse 2 through 3. I don't have it up here. The Lord is my rock, my fortress. Where I plant my feet is firmly in Him. I trust in Him. He is the one. When everything else is going around, I'm looking at who I'm founded upon. Don't find your hope in the trendy books that are out or the cliches that work well on bumper stickers, but if you try to apply it to your life, it ain't going to work. Go forward to the full counsel of God's Word and put your trust in Him. Thorns are coming. What will be the fruit? Will they accomplish the goals that God has to strengthen and to make you what you are called to be here upon this earth, not just for you, but for others that witness your life. You know, I love stories about my grandmama or my great-grandmama that my mom would share with me about the godliness of their lives. Blesses me to hear testimony of people that have walked faith on the foundation of God. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, the one who rescues me. My God, my rock and strength, in whom, let me say it again, I trust and take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, the strength of my salvation. That battle cry of that horn in battle, that army's call to move forward, that strength that is coming at the sound of that horn. The strength of the Lord is there for us regardless of the thorns that are coming. My shield again and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my stronghold. God raises me above that which comes to try to tear me down. Verse 3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I want to just stop on that for a minute. Thorns come to change the cry of our heart. Thorns come and try its best to take away a contented heart. And then we find ourselves proclaiming what's within by our words. And if it's all filled with complaint, 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 when is it filled with praise to God? So, Pastor, that just doesn't make sense. Praise to God is powerful. It establishes where your heart is seated and where your feet are planted to praise God in the midst of that which those thorns are trying to accomplish. Think about it for a minute. What happens when you begin to give verbal thanksgiving to God? Strongholds, things that war against us, are broken down, the strongholds of this world. And our perspective begins to change because praise, God inhabits the praises of his people. When we praise him, we invite more of him into our hearts and our spirit. But if the contentment of this life is overshadowed, overcome by the thorns, rarely will we offer praise to God. When we come in here on Sundays and praise is more than just when we come and sing. It's an intentional act, and when I say act, an action to praise him when we come in here. There's a lot of stuff that's going to try to keep our minds from focusing in on him. During worship and praise, intentionally lift up his name. You don't even have to sing good to do it. Praise, honor, contentment. I'm contented, God. I don't like this situation, but I'm trusting. I'm still trusting. I count you worthy as my shield, as the horn of my salvation, as my high tower, as my stronghold, as the one who rescues me. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And then there's fruit. And I am saved from my enemies. Perspective is changed when words lift up our God. When we see foreshadowing of things that are bigger than us, when we praise God, we are saying, I'm trusting not in my strength, I'm trusting in yours. We never go wrong praising God. I want us to bow for a moment in prayer this morning. Thorns are part of our walk upon this earth. They're not there to be something that God cannot use. In fact, God allows thorns again so that we will not rely on our strength, but that His strength may expand in us. If we can stand to our feet this morning.